Lainey and Tushali. Esti Dinor, actually next week we'll be talking about the trial, the crazy result of the trial against Greenpeace, which has to do with Standing Rock. So join us then again. I'm Esti Dinor. Bye-bye. Frequency radio modulation, the big sound from underground, another pirate station.
You're listening to WORT Madison. We bring the sound communication of our tribal war. Ah, I feel good. I knew that I would not. I feel good. I knew that I would not. So good. So good. I got to hear. Nice. The sugar and spice. I feel nice. The sugar and spice. So nice. So nice. I got you.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to the Mel and Floyd Summer Replacement Show. I'm Mel. Floyd is with
and
us today.
Floyd.
And Floyd is with us today. What are you doing here?
I'm not sure. And I just thought I'd come in because it's Good Friday and all that.
Well, it's okay Friday.
It's okay Friday. Okay Friday. Pretty good Friday. Have you ever done the math on that? I've sat through so
I'd like
many...
to introduce Mr. Smarty Pants.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Howdy.
That's Mr. Smarty Pants. Done the math on what?
Good Friday. Okay, so I've sat through I don't know how many masses. But they always say, especially around Easter, on the third
day. The revolt
day,
of the masses?
Yes.
The revolt of the masses. Tell me about it.
They say on the third day he rose from the dead.
Yeah.
So, okay, today's Friday. That'd be day one.
Yeah, Friday night he was.
Oh, okay, so Saturday.
Yeah.
So it's not like 3 days. It's 2 days.
It's day and a half.
Day and a half.
I've been out that long.
Yeah, right. Me too.
And you wake up in a strange place. Yeah. I mean,
you sneak out before anybody discovers you.
Makes sense.
You grab your shoes and you tiptoe out. I might be the son of God.
Watch it.
You're the son of something.
That's what I've heard. So. Yeah, so Floyd's joined us today, and Ruby might come in later.
That would be awesome. Lovely. Yeah. It'd be quite a cacophony here.
Testing all of our microphones.
I will try not to dominate.
Oh, go ahead. Dominate away.
Bend over.
I've got a quarter for every time I heard that.
It's a melon dom.
So what you been up to, Floyd?
Oh, not much. I'm getting a new knee next week.
Oh, really? Are they just laying around?
Yeah, right. Pick has me up? Totally terrified.
It's not coming from China, is it? Because you're
in
trouble.
I don't think so, no. I think it's coming from Pittsburgh.
You're getting a titanium one.
Right? Yeah, yep. It's a complete whole knee replacement for
he
my
was like
right
the big enemy of Iron Man, the titanium.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, he was. So anyway, they're going to take the old one out, put a new one in.
How do you think you'll enjoy your cyborg lifestyle?
Well, I'm looking forward to it. I'm not looking forward to the recovery, though. And the surgery itself has me terrified. But,
so what's with your knee?
It's bone on bone. I have absolutely no cartilage on either knee. None.
Wow.
Zero.
Impressive.
I've got an X-ray I could show you if you're interested.
Put it up on our Twitch feed.
I keep looking at it to remind myself.
What do you know about sick? I know about sick.
Welcome to the old people's hour. Well, you've spent years loading and unloading shows at the Coliseum and
the Civic Center,
the Kohl Center.
Yeah,
and,
did a whole lot of heavy lifting in my.
Are you the guy that puts all the amps up all the time?
Yeah, he was.
I used to be. Yeah.
Wow, I didn't know that.
I've done it in 20 some years.
For Aerosmith and Britney Spears.
Britney Spears and all the big names.
You saw the end of Hammer Times.
Oh, right, MC Hammer, where he divided up his tour because they were hemorrhaging so much money. He was cutting trucks, cutting dancers all in the parking lot of the Coliseum.
He got a call from his business manager or something in the middle of the show. It's shut it down, shut it down.
He says, wait, Hammer Time, I got to take this.
Oh, but I mean, there were people on the show that were dumped in Madison.
Yes,
they had to find their way own
find
way
their
home.
Way
to
oh, wow. Yeah.
Well, background dancers, truck drivers were okay because they had trucks.
Yeah.
But. Well, so how's your back?
What's that?
How's your back?
Oh, my back is okay. But, you know, I went in, I talked to my doctor about it a few years ago, saying, you know, I've got this back thing. I have to do yoga every morning he said, so what do you expect to do about it? I said, well, you know, maybe get an x-ray, take a look at it, see what's going on. He said, and then what would you do?
What is this, RFK Jr.?
Yes, right.
Did you not go to medical school?
No.
You tell me.
He was just asking because surgery
for a friend.
For back surgery just doesn't work.
Yeah.
It's dicey.
Yeah.
You know, it's like 90% of back surgeries fail. So certainly I'm not going in for surgery. And I thought, you know, I'd go in, I'd take
a look
at it. So you
went for front surgery instead.
Yes. But it didn't make sense to actually look at it. But my knees, on the other hand, so the first time I saw my knee x-ray, I couldn't walk for like a week afterward because I kept thinking, oh my God.
The way that works.
Yes. What am I doing?
You're easily persuaded. I'm surprised you didn't vote for Trump.
Not that easily.
Not at that. Oh, all right. There's a limit.
We'll all have great knees. Just like me.
But yeah, absolutely no cartilage.
So what do they do? So they go in. I'm fascinated by this. They actually take something out and put something else in.
Yeah, it's an anterior incision on the front of the knees, in case you don't know what anterior means.
Yeah, I do.
I have an anterior. She lives in Waseca, I think.
But. She lives in Superior. Yeah. She works in the shipyards there.
She works with the sailors. She works with the sailors.
Let's
put it that way.
You got a limerick. Right here. Anyway, so they cut around the patella, fold that up.
All right.
Saw out.
There's a truck that sells those patellas. I don't know if you've ever had one. They're great.
Get the guac on it.
The guac on it. Yum. Mwah.
So it'd be patella.
Exactly. So you got your patella out.
Yeah.
Now.
So okay. All right. Flipped over.
Yeah, and yeah.
Or patata. Yeah. That's how I say it.
They move all the muscles and nerves around.
Wow.
And then they saw out the lower leg bone from the upper leg bone.
I hope you're awake for that part.
Yeah, I do have the option. They're just doing a spinal block, but
Should stay awake.
I think I'm going to watch the second
one.
Oh
yeah, that would I would do that. One. Oh God, yeah,
too
that would be
scared
great.
About the first one.
Oh yeah,
and then they pull that out, chuck it in the freezer to make a nice broth. And
that'll make a nice soup.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, the older knees, they have a certain amount of pungency to them that it really makes it great.
They don't have all that cartilage to thicken it up, though. Right. So. Yeah. Anyway, and then they slap in the new one, staple me.
Like a little robot stitches. Thing.
Yep. Yeah.
And then I've got to learn how to walk again.
So could Elon Musk, like, kind of take over you then with a remote control?
I was thinking, like, what was that called? The $6 million man. So you're going to be able to run faster? Yeah.
Yes.
Yep. Lift more amps in the future? That's your goal, I know. Right? It really is.
He can set up the Taylor Swift show in 30 minutes.
Watch him go.
My hope is just to be able to climb the stairs to my apartment without screaming in agony.
So,
I remember once when you were working the shows that you gave Liv Tyler a light.
Yes.
She was there with her dad. Yes. Aerosmith was there.
I don't know why she was in town, but yeah.
She was tagging along.
Yep,
she was outside, and you happened to wander by.
And she asked me if I had a light. I said no, but I can get one.
Yeah.
So I went in, got
answer.
One, came back out, and lit her cigarette.
Very good.
She hasn't been the same since.
So were you in like the Teamsters or anything?
No, IATSE, the international, stage and theater.
Did you have a big like black T-shirt and everything?
Yeah, I have to wear black.
Yeah.
Black. I used to wear black all the time until I got depressed. Then I wore bright colors.
I note with interest you're wearing navy blue today. Yeah, what is that telling us? You're not depressed.
I'm ambivalent.
Yeah, you're ambivalent. Okay.
No, the antidepressants have kicked in. So. That's next week.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
So what else is going on?
Let's see. We
got to check in here. I feel like
right.
This is like
long
the
time.
Floyd
yeah.
update, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
It's our employee evaluation.
Wait, I got to get the form.
What would you say your biggest weakness?
You're going to put me on a program.
Your knees, I would guess.
Yeah, my knees.
Personal improvement program, yes.
A PEP program. That's what we called it in my office.
PEP, what does the E stand
Personal
for?
Personal Employee I don't know. I forget.
Personification. Plowshare.
But I always love putting people on the PEP program.
It sounded
so Orwellian. It's like somebody's going to come out and like beat the crap out of them.
There used to be a breakfast cereal called PEP.
There was, yes. Yeah. It's frequently a crossword puzzle answer.
Oh, is it?
Because it's a nice one. Yeah.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, I'm sticking there. Yeah.
Yeah, we've
taken this is back from, I don't know when, it must have been still in the 50s, I think.
Yeah, it must have been. Yeah. I don't know when they eliminated that, but yeah, I hear advertisements for it on all the old radio shows, the old-timey radio.
Oh.
Do you still listen to old-timey? I do.
I love it.
Not too much.
Not too much anymore. Okay,
just this show.
Yeah. Echoes of yesterday. Mel and Floyd.
And how's your knee?
It's my lumbago.
I was watching the radio the other day. Superman came on.
Can't believe it, President Roosevelt said.
Yeah.
That guy's voice has changed a lot. You know what I'm saying?
Over the years. Oh, yeah.
He's angrier, too.
He's certainly angrier.
And more orange.
So what else are you doing?
Let's see. Working.
Are you into poetry yet?
No.
No haikus or anything?
Okay. I started on a limeric at the beginning of the show. Yeah. Maybe you should pursue that sometime.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, next time you're here, we could
okay, we'll pick that up.
Are you doing painting like a lot of retired people?
Or? No. I'm doing radio, amateur radio, a lot of projects.
So are we.
More and more every week.
So,
that's ham radio.
Yeah, ham radio. Oh. I've been doing a lot of that. I'm getting a shed up at our cabin up north that I can build an actual ham radio shack in and put an antenna up.
Are you thinking of getting a second shed?
Because
then we could call you two sheds, Johnson.
Yeah, I'm going to get it. Well, actually, I already have a shed in Maine.
Okay. So you get this one. You are officially two sheds, Johnson.
Okay. So, and still working on the house in Maine.
Yeah.
We've got our...
thinking of getting a second shed,
the main house.
Out there.
That's where our first shed is.
Yeah, maybe getting another.
So we bought
one,
the land, and then we bought the shed, and then we told our architect that we bought the shed.
Getting this piecemeal.
Right. So our architect, we got the shed. He said, "Why? What's that?" Because it doesn't match his vision.
So I heard that you guys, I've been following the news from Maine, and you guys have like a trans woman hellscape up there, is what I've heard.
Yes, right. Yeah, there are two. Two in high school.
Yeah, right.
Who would like to participate in sports?
Yeah.
So, yeah. Apparently, that's the ruin of civilization right there.
It's all going to go down.
They're getting sued. Young people who,
getting sued.
The school board of Maine, the Maine school board, I guess, whatever, the Department of Education there, they came out I think they came out against trans athletes just recently. I'm not sure. I saw a headline, didn't want to follow up on it because it's just so, just makes me so angry.
Well, Maine's kind of odd, isn't it?
It is very odd.
They used to have this governor who was just... super crazy right wing.
Do you remember that?
He was a bartender at Trixie's, the bar that Trixie worked in back in.
He was?
Yes, he was a bartender for a while.
He kind of gave off bartender vibes.
Do you remember what he did?
He went into the labor department there, and they had a mural showing the struggle of the workers to achieve the 8-hour day or whatever, and he had it removed. The only way that labor has ever gotten anything is through the generosity and rationality of the boss. That really was literally what he was trying to communicate. It's like, okay, more of those guys.
So I have to share this with the two of you and anybody who's listening out there.
All right.
So I got a postcard the other day from the Wisconsin. This was like on the.
Do they still do that?
I know. Postcard. Well, it was from the Wisconsin Conservation Voters.
Okay.
And it was just a little postcard. A nice little postcard urging me to vote. On April 1st for the Supreme Court and this superintendent is going. It came from Milwaukee.
Yeah, sure.
And it was postmarked March 18th.
Yeah.
Oh, geez. And I got it April 18th.
Yeah. I sent a card to my aunt for her birthday, and I sent it like 2 weeks ago, and her birthday was on the 9th of April, and she hasn't gotten it yet.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. I just assumed this was like right wing. Yeah. Screwery.
Just
incompetence.
My guess is it's
incompetence at the post.
Postal problems.
Well, we should shut that thing down. Then.
But that's the whole thing.
Yeah,
that's the whole thing, Mel. Yeah. Social Security doesn't work. Let's privatize. Yeah. Post office doesn't work. Let's privatize. Yeah. I mean, these are all investment opportunities for the blood-sucking funnels, which are modern predatory capitalism. Yeah. So, you know.
Well, if Bezos gets a hold of the post office and he makes a lot more money, we could send Katy Perry into space a lot longer.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like we could shoot her to the moon. Right.
First class. Yeah.
She had some kind of like psychotic experience or something. Did you see the interviews?
She was holding this flower.
She was talking about love and the power of love.
They were there for 10 minutes.
I love outer space, but if I went into outer space, my reaction would be, yes, the meaninglessness of the universe. I mean, I don't think I would see love. You know?
I don't think I'm going to throw up.
Everybody throws up. Yeah.
And when is this going to be over?
It would be a lot like a ride at an amusement park or something.
It's like straight up.
Back down again.
What is it, a 1902 movie, The Trip to the Moon?
Yeah, that's right.
Shoot him up with a cannon.
Yep.
It's kind of like that, where they go up and then they just kind of fall
Hit
back
the man
down.
In the moon right in the eyeball. Yeah, right. Yeah. That's the best part of that one.
Come right down.
It's my favorite.
And like
moon
I said,
shot.
It's 10 minutes. It's less than what like NASA was doing in 1961.
Yeah. Well, did you hear this week that this is just amazing? One of the cuts that they made. So, you know, Elon wants us all to go to the moon and Mars and whatever.
Right.
And which is ridiculous.
First. Yeah.
Why do we need the organ sacs in space? I mean, this is where robots would really come in handy, right? But nonetheless, we're going to do that. But here's the thing. When it's Elon and you know what he's all about, then it's going to be like the riskiest, dumbest thing possible. So what they did was they've started thinning the staff of this astrogeology science center in Flagstaff. These are the guys that gave us the map of the moon that tells you it's kind of like how far things are down and what quality of the rock there is.
Places to land, exactly.
That's what it is. It's a part of the U.S. Geological Survey, and they've been basically looking at what are appropriate places for you to land on the moon if you're really worried about your organ sacs.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? and so it's like they're cutting it. They're thinning out the staff. They cut it by 20%. In terms of the staffing, and these are people that have been working together for a long time. By the way, there's a new book out. I think it's called Lunar, which has some of their stuff in it. Oh. It's like a coffee table book for people who have really sturdy coffee tables.
Uh-huh.
But it's got all these beautiful things that these people have been doing.
Well, on the
moon,
it only weighs 1/6. Exactly. They kind of messed that up. Yeah, yeah. They can never remember
They're so moon-obsessed.
They couldn't remember how it goes.
Yeah. But I mean, this is the classic thing. It's like, okay, we're going to do this grandiose thing, but the infrastructure that you need to do it, they're cutting the money for it.
Yeah.
How are they even going to do that?
Yeah. It's chaos.
This is the thing that I was just telling Mel before the show. Mm-hmm. The deal that tyranny always makes is I'm going to do it right. I'm going to defend you.
Yeah,
it's going to be stable. They're not doing that.
I'm going to fix it.
I'm going to fix it.
Well, they're still saying they're going to fix it.
Well, they're the ones breaking everything.
Yeah, right, so they know how to fix it.
Bad tyrant.
Why didn't you stop me from breaking that? I never know what's true anymore. I mean,
no,
I'm just
right. Yeah,
and there, but I saw a post on Blue Sky this morning, and it was somebody who said they worked at the National Labor Relations Board, and they talked about when Musk and his you know musketeers came in there.
His muskrats.
The muskrats.
and you know, and they just like logged into all these things that they had no business logging into.
Right,
they had no security. And this person said, you know, if anybody ever has access to this, there's all these protocols where you have to have somebody watching you the whole time. And they had nothing like that. They were doing it behind closed doors. And they installed some software and then they left. But this guy said that since then, their system has been getting hit with attempts to get on from Russia, Russian hackers.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Right, of course.
And they're...
I'm surprised they don't have the passwords.
Well, that's exactly it. They have the usernames and the passwords.
Oh, they do.
They managed to catch them because they were coming from Russia, and it triggers something.
But, so it wasn't just the porn sites that Big Balls was looking at.
No, well, it might have been.
Well, you know, the thing is this week, so this is kind of like the other side of it. On Wednesday this week, the Secretary of State announced that they were going to shut down the center that tracks and counters global disinformation from foreign actors. And, of course, we know who those people are. That's China, Russia, Iran, et cetera.
So I thought it meant like those Australians who come up here and pretend to be Americans and do those accents.
So it's called the counter. One of the things about them destroying the government is I'm finding out about all these agencies I never heard of. It's really informative. You know, it's like, throw that one on the pyre. Oh, what was that one? Wait, let me write it down. Counter Foreign Information Manipulation and Interference Hub. That's what it's called. And I think they probably deserved it just for that name. But there's 40 employees, and they were all put on paid leave this Wednesday. And they're basically saying, you know, just get out. We don't need to figure out what lies they're telling. We're friends with Russia.
Yeah, we are friends. That's why we didn't put any tariffs on them.
Right. It's like a musk ox in a China shop.
So the Canadians are going to the polls coming up.
They had a debate
couple weeks.
Last night.
Yep. And one of the things that they do not have in Canada, just to let you know, are machine ballots. The ballots are paper, and they're counted by humans. And there are two people in the country that are not allowed to vote.
They're on moose leather, I think.
Exactly. There are two people not allowed to vote.
Two people?
There are two people are not allowed to vote in the country. One is the leader, the Governor General of Canada, who's, of course, the viceroy for King Charles. And then the person who's in charge of the elections.
Oh.
They have a person who's got a 10-year term, and they're in charge of the elections, and they're not
allowed. And they can't vote. That's interesting, yeah.
So they're gonna go, and I don't know. It looks like the Liberals might pull it out just because they're so horrified by the other guy who was like kind of like the Canadian version of Trump, which I can't imagine would be terribly awful, but still, for them, it might be offensive.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. So, I thought it was like two guys, one random guy from Saskatoon.
The drummer for the Guess Who.
What's interesting is the guy that's currently their prime minister is not in the parliament. He's actually running for an office for the first time.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
So he does.
Does he work at Arby's or something?
I don't know where he works. That's a good question. Well, I think he's an economist.
Well,
actually.
That comes up every
that's
once.
That's kind of what you kind of want at this point.
Right.
When they're trying to elect a Speaker of the House, like every couple of months now, it always comes up that, well, you don't have to be a member of Congress.
Yeah, that's true.
And so,
You
know, they have not figured out how to, you know,
get somebody in there.
Get like, somebody in there that, like, that would be horrible. But, yeah.
I'm sure Trump has a few people in mind.
Yeah. Matt Gaetz.
Nobody likes him. Yeah.
The only thing Matt Gaetz, well, he objected because, you know, you have to be 25 to be representative. He was a little irked at that. So
we're going to do with all these old hags.
Thank God for pages.
So many pages here, it's like a brochure.
The White House says it has technology that can, quote, manipulate time and space.
That's probably what those guys that sent you that postcard were thinking.
Yes.
Mel will get in his time machine and go back to April 1st.
And vote properly this time.
And this was from their science advisor, their version, their version of Mr. Spock.
Dr. Mandrake Scurry.
His name is Michael Kretsios. Kretsios. And he did a speech, and he claimed U.S. technology can, quote, manipulate time and space.
Yeah, all right.
I like this. The White House has not issued a formal clarification.
Yeah, yeah. So was this guy got a doctor of thinkology? Or what is it?
Is he a PhD? That's my question.
I don't know. He was at the Endless Frontiers Retreat in Austin.
Oh, it's drugs. Now I understand.
Endless Frontiers.
We have the technology. I can see through time.
Space.
Oh, the aliens are building the pyramids.
To store grain.
He said, our technologies permit us to manipulate time and space.
Yeah.
They leave distance annihilated, cause things to grow, and improve productivity.
I see what he's saying.
So he's, there's, it's not quite as,
stupid as
strange Lovian as you would imagine. there's a proposal in Congress to start to increase taxes on credit unions.
Oh, I knew that was coming.
Yeah, I knew that was coming. So that
because I'm trying to keep my money in a safe place. They're gonna come sniffing around. Yeah.
Well, credit unions pay federal, state, and local taxes,
right.
but they have an exemption on federal income tax on profits. Mm. And I think most of them are nonprofit.
Right.
Maybe
right.
they all are.
I think they all are. I think that's part of it.
But now Congress has a bill that I'm sure the
banking industry has nothing to do with it.
No, not at all. They're not at all interested in that. But yeah, tax the churches too. That might be a good idea.
Yeah, let's start there.
Yeah, let's start there, and then
I think we gonna need to put together the Floyd agenda because I like the cut of your gym.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll just send tax collectors around with like a little basket every once in a while, and then the Pope can throw a ring in there, and, you know, maybe a crown or something.
Watch people pretend to put money in.
Put the scotch tape on your tapered fingers. Look, Mom, I got a ring. I got the Pope's ring.
One of my favorite lines from The Simpsons is when they're having the boys take the money out of it as a punishment because they're being naughty.
Yeah.
Milhouse and Bart, and they're having them put the money from the collection plate into those little sleeves you put coins in, you know? And they're talking about whether they have souls or not. And Reverend Lovejoy calls in, "I don't hear any counting."
What are you, a moneylender?
Yeah. Exactly. Hey, the CDC fired a team of scientists that's been tracking gonorrhea. I'd like to know how they do that.
Yeah.
Drug-resistant gonorrhea, a form of the widespread sexual
follow my aunt around.
Is considered an urgent health threat worldwide.
Yeah, I would say
but
so,
the U.S., we're not going to be following that anymore. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, there were 77 scientists who've been working on this, and they got fired, basically. Well, they were given, you know, the opportunity to apply for other jobs or something.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever Orwellian thing
tracking
you want to say.
Syphilis.
Yeah, so they've been looking at genetic information for signs of drug resistance, and they have a bunch of samples that are in storage at a secure facility, but there's nobody else that has the expertise to do this or the software. So they have 1,000 samples of gonorrhea and other sexually transmitted pathogens that have not been processed, and they're just kind of laying there in freezers, I guess.
Yeah, it seems like Trump would really want to pursue that. Seeing as how it was his own personal Vietnam.
Yeah, yeah. That's right. Oh, by the way, it's the 50th anniversary of the fall of Phnom Penh.
Oh.
It was April 17th, 1975.
Wow.
So I've been looking at the old newspapers, just checking out
cool.
the last days as they got closer and closer to the city.
Sure.
I have a second cousin who is a helicopter pilot, and he was one of those pulling the people off the embassy.
Oh, my goodness.
As they were grabbing at the helicopter to escape. Another great job we've done as a country.
Yeah, it really does kind of bring it home, doesn't it?
Yeah,
when you
it does.
Read that stuff. And you know, Vietnam is still to come. The evacuation of the embassy there. They couldn't actually evacuate people from Phnom Penh through the airport because it was being shelled continuously by the Khmer Rouge.
Right,
at that point.
I remember that.
So they had to land helicopters, as you were saying, in the embassy lawn.
I remember the great line from the movie Stripes, where Harold Ramis is trying to get the guys all fired up to go into, I think they're going to Czechoslovakia or something. He goes, "We're America! We're 10-1!
Where do the Indian Wars count there?
I'm just curious. Yeah, you could argue with that.
Korea, that was kind of a...
Hey, guess who's joined the army?
Ooh.
Measles.
Yay.
they found...
Hello, 19th century. Right. Can scrofula be far behind?
They were in some blankets they found. They were at Fort Bliss.
I hope they were at a casino when that happened.
Ironically named Fort Bliss.
Confirms
measles on base as cases increase in nearby civilian communities.
Lord have mercy. Well, yeah, of course, the vaccine is far worse than the disease.
Mm-hmm.
Far worse.
Did you see Brainworm talking about autistic people this week?
Oh, my God,
that's just so insulting and about how, well, they'll never get married or hold a job or pay taxes. And it's like, what are you talking about?
What was he talking about?
Autistic people.
Oh.
Yeah, most of the autistic people I know are married and
have jobs.
Yeah.
And
except for the kids who haven't gotten old enough to get married yet.
Well, there's the problem.
We're working on that, too.
We've got plenty of jobs in coal mines.
And you know the thing about coal miners? They wouldn't do anything else. They love it so much.
Yep.
I can tell you that from personal experience.
Yeah. You know, coal miners' daughters, they're proud. Everybody's proud to be a coal miner.
I worked in a factory a couple of summers in college, and nobody wanted to be there. No. I mean, you know, it was like, I have to be here. Yes, but nobody said, you know, you weren't like the dwarves walking to work whistling. You know? There was a guy. I worked third shift one time, and there were people who would go out. Now we worked with like really dangerous machinery, like mm-hmm. steel. I was in the steel room, so we worked with shears and drill presses and stuff like punches. These guys would go out like in our lunch break would be at like at 1 a.m. or something, and they'd go out and sit in their cars and drink.
Yeah.
Sure. Yep. Like, oh no. And then put their hands in these machines.
Right, right. Like, yeah. And it's their hope, I think, that maybe one day
they'll get on disability.
Disability, that's what we all were looking for, disability.
I had a friend of mine, a high school friend, who a couple of years later was working in a truss factory that makes building trusses, not that kind of truss.
Yeah.
And
they have a whole factory for that.
And that was his job, was to punch the plates down on the boards, and he stuck his hand in there one day because he was tired of working.
Wow.
And he got a settlement.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh,
it was like $10,000. And I thought, why would you do that for that little? Yeah. What's your hand worth?
Yeah. I've worked with a woman who like, I don't know, she had got her thumb broken really, really bad.
Yeah.
And she was like just giddy about how much money she was going to get.
Giddy is the operative word there. Yeah. Yeah, right.
Wow. Maybe I could sell a kidney.
I almost got it.
You got two of them.
Yeah. I almost got it like 3 times, I think it was the mines. One was, I was talking to a guy during lunch break, and I couldn't hear quite what he was saying, so I got up to come over to get closer to him, and where I was sitting, a rock fell right
there.
Oh, my
goodness.
Oh, wow.
And because this was an area where, you know, you pin the rocks up with these very long, basically, like, they have, I don't know.
Tent poles.
They're just pins, yeah. You go up, and then it opens up when it at the top inside the rock.
Oh, so sure. It's like an umbrella.
Yeah, kinda. So it kind of keeps it up there. But when you're first doing it, you're not sure which areas are, like, looser than others. So this is one of these newer areas. So that happened one time. Another time, a guy almost ran over my leg with what is called a battery jeep. It's like this little, you know, battery-powered thing that we use to pull stuff around with. Mm-hmm. And it's the space is so confining, you don't think about that. But he's coming at me. I couldn't pull back in time.
You had nowhere to go.
Yeah, I had nowhere to go. And so he's just almost ran over my leg. And then the part that was the most intense was, I shouldn't have been doing this, but, you know, I kind of got literally pushed into it. We would leave sometime at the end of the day because you're down there for 9 hours. It's like a half an hour in, half an hour out. So leave at the end of the day, guys would get on the conveyor belt. That conveyor belt's going about 15 miles an hour. To zip out of there, right? Yeah. I never did it because it was totally not what you're supposed to do. But I got talked into it, and somebody pushed me onto the conveyor belt, and my pants leg got caught in the suture because there's a suture on the thing, right?
It's got to go around.
And I couldn't pull it out. And I'm yanking it because I know this thing's zipping along like a maniac. And it gets up to the tipple and goes over. I'm going to go. I'm either going to go over.
It won't let you go till you get to the top.
So I'm yanking and yanking and yanking and yanking. And finally, I just, like, as we're getting, I could see daylight. I just pulled like a maniac. And it ripped the seam on the side of my pants and I got loose. And I go, you know this is when you work with a bunch of guys?
Yeah.
I get off and I'm like, my life, you know, could have ended. But I get off and they see my ripped pants and I go, oh, you know, that was the funniest thing they'd ever seen. And my mother's reaction was, you realize I'm going to have to sew that up. You know? It's like, okay, does anybody get? What did happen a year later was there was a guy that did go over the top.
Mrs. Pants, your son is dead, but his pants are fine.
Yeah, exactly. His smarty pants. Yeah. So, but there was a guy the very next year that went over the tipple, and I'm sure they must have, after that, really enforced it.
Yeah.
And they didn't know where he was for about a week. The coal that we did went to this power plant in North Carolina, and when they were dumping it out, they found his battered body in there, and it was like, okay, you guys, you got to stop this.
Yeah.
But so it's dangerous to do things. Like, it is not fun, and we don't all think, yay. And Donald Trump should try. I would like to see Donald Trump try to work in a coal mine.
Yeah,
I think that would be an interesting sight. Yes.
Yeah.
Take Eric and Junior with him, too.
Yes.
We'll call it Survivor. Yeah, so, hey, we have to take a break and play some announcements. We'll be back in a couple minutes. Anybody have anything good? Or?
No, I got nothing good. I got brain tumors.
No, not personally.
What other bodily ailments do you want to discuss?
Vegetative electron microscopy.
Ooh, I think that sounds great.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I vote for that.
Okay.
Senator Lisa Murkowski is afraid.
I got Dutch sperm donors. You cannot do that one.
Oh, we'll have to read in the mailbag too. We got something. We talked about sperm last week,
and we're always talking about sperm.
We got an interesting response from a listener.
All right,
so we'll get to that too.
Support for this program comes from WORT's listener sponsors and Isthmus Newspaper. Isthmus is back on newsstands the first Thursday of every month, and now a nonprofit. Isthmus continues to expand its independent coverage of local government, the arts, and all things Madison at isthmus.com.
WORT thanks its listener sponsors and the Wine and Hop Shop, located at 1919 Monroe Street. Specializing in home brewing and winemaking supplies for over 40 years. Open to in-person shopping or order online for curbside pickup, in-Madison delivery and shipping of supplies at wineandhop.com.
Attention WORT volunteers and donors. WORT is holding an election for two open participating member seats and one open listener sponsor seat to serve three-year terms on the Board of Directors of Back Porch Radio Broadcasting, Inc., with terms beginning at the annual meeting in June and concluding at the annual meeting in June 2028. Financial acumen, computer literacy, and a willingness to work within a dynamic group to help shape this great station are all desirable qualifications. People of underrepresented groups are strongly encouraged to apply. Some committee hours are required outside of board meetings. Applications must be received by 5 p.m. on Thursday, May 15th to ensure consideration. Voting begins Thursday, May 29th and continues until the annual meeting on Sunday, June 29th. More information and board applications are available at wardfm.org or on paper in the station lobby. Help us keep WORT a vibrant and important part of our community. Apply today.
Do you have an insatiable curiosity about the world? Do you find yourself provoking conversations with your friends and coworkers? Are you a strong listener? Then you should consider applying to become the next host of A Public Affair, WORT's daily hour-long call-in talk program. We're now accepting applications for this volunteer position. The next host will be the voice of Tuesday's show and join a stellar lineup of folks who engage listeners in conversations on social, cultural, and political issues of importance every day of the week. We're looking for someone who is curious and well-informed, comfortable speaking on air, someone who can think on their feet, and has at least 5 hours a week to prepare and host the show. And of course, we'll need you to be here every Tuesday from 12 to 1 p.m. Apply by May 2nd. To find out more information or apply, go to wortfm.org/talkhost.
And we're back.
So you know all about the Dutch, right?
Well, I know about the Dutch who came to West Michigan seeking the freedom to be narrow.
Well, the one thing that I think either in the United States or back in the home country that we know about the Dutch is they're very fastidious about things. They everything to be precise.
Yep.
But it turns out that there are some cracks in that veneer.
And are there?
Recently, the Minister for Youth Prevention and Sport, Youth Prevention, that sounds pretty good. Vincent Caremans, he sent a letter to the Dutch Parliament saying that something they had not been keeping track of very well until recently were the records for fertility clinics in the Kingdom of the Netherlands.
Uh-huh.
And there was a new law that just got passed on April 1st that requires more careful tracking of how sperm donations are used for people who are getting sperm artificially inseminated.
Well, the problem is they're using the wooden shoes instead of the turkey base.
Well, it turns out that there are a vast number of children in the Netherlands who probably should not marry. One individual, one sperm donor, is probably the father of 125 kids.
Holy shnikes. Whoa.
That's so good.
Even at and my peak in the teenage years, I think I could have produced
this
that.
Guy, I think this guy needed the money. But at any rate.
Wow.
So this, yeah, so, and they figure it's, they've identified 85 what they call mass donors, and these are people that have given, you know, helped to assist the birth of at least 25 or more descendants. So there's 85 people in the Netherlands that are, and I don't know how many more, that 125 was the top level, right. But 25 was the low level of
so
this
there's
group.
Step siblings.
So there's an awful lot of kids in there that basically are going to be, again, you might want to check out what your genetics look like. Because I can't imagine they ship it all over the country, right?
I mean, right, I imagine
it seems
it's
like
pretty
there's
localized.
Little areas, yeah, like where everybody in that area, all 125 kids and, you know.
Yeah, I'll go see the same doctor.
Klinigan or something are all related to each other. So they're going to be a little more, I guess they're going to be a little bit keeping track a little bit better now since they've discovered this.
Yeah, they're shutting the barn door after the sperm got out.
After the sperm got out, exactly.
So last week you, Pinch, you had a story about sperm and how smoking weed
slowed down your sperm. Yeah. Yeah. And made them knock into each other and kind of wander around. Yeah, I see the ovum, but whatever.
Yeah, right. So we got an email at melonfloydmailbag@gmail.com.
From highdog.com, right?
From Starla, and she says, "My ex-husband tried to use that farce before we were married. Either he was lying about his weed use, or this study is rigged. I had two kids by that guy. Weed affecting sperm, my ass. This scientist dude is probably just trying to get out of wearing a condom like they all do."
Excellent, Starla. And, point, counterpoint.
And I replied, "You're on to us." It's just something we say, kind of like, "I had a vasectomy."
Oh, man.
I have had to show my scars.
Let's not go there.
No, really.
I got a titanium one now.
That's what I'm worried about. Yeah.
Oh, God. FDA to stop routine food inspections. Yes.
They called that book The Jungle for a reason. You
know? The poor onion. You know, they can't keep up.
Yeah, it's true.
Do you see, they had a, when J.D. Vance, J.V. Dunce was meeting with...
Shady.
meeting with the NBA, it must have been the NCAA champions.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
And
yep.
And they had a...
Was
big,
that Ohio State?
The OSU.
Yeah, it's one of the Ohio State.
But they had this big trophy, and he was trying to hand it to the...
Whoopsie doodle.
And it came apart. So the Onion has a story.
Wah, wah.
A story that J.D. Vance was trying to hold his wife, and her head fell off.
Oh,
and they
no.
got this like really bad Photoshop of her head kind of falling on the ground. Big smile on her face.
Oh, can't imagine being married to it. So that he called the Chinese people peasants.
Yeah.
And then so they came out.
Because he thought it was peasant season.
Yeah. So they came out with a video of him in full makeup.
Oh, the good earth.
Talking about the the makeup that, you know, the eyeshadow. The J.D. Vance eyeshadow. Which I thought was pretty funny.
Oh, that's good.
It was all in Chinese. I didn't understand.
He should market that. Yeah.
Yeah.
They had a thing on Saturday Night Live where Bowen Yang plays this very snippy, kind of coded gay trade minister from China. And he said, "I just want to tell you about my new book." And it was Peasant Elegy. And I was like, very nice.
Oh, hilarious.
Yeah, it's the pot calling the kettle black there. Come on.
Yeah, that's great.
At least my grandma wasn't on crack.
Well, the FDA is drawing up plans that would end most of its routine food safety inspections, according to multiple federal health officials.
Do they understand what it means to live in a society?
Well, and then here's, of course, the other shoe. They want to outsource this to state and local authorities.
Of course they do,
monetize it.
Yeah.
They want to do.
Yeah, I don't think they want to send it to state and local authorities. I think they want to...
The problem is all of these... I mean, the whole purpose of government is to be... a third party that guarantees,
like a referee,
that, yeah, like a referee, or right, that, you know, or can step in and enforce contracts. I mean, mm-hmm. as long as there's been the concept of a government, that's what it's basically been for. Yep. So that we don't have to have our own private armies, we don't have to
neutral third party,
a neutral third party, exactly. Yep. And yet, this is the thing you'd think. If I were a market actor, I wouldn't want somebody to provide some kind of assurance warrant to my, you know, buyers that this thing is actually.
Yeah.
You don't just have to believe me. I'm not like a used car salesman. There's
it's
somebody
got a certificate of authenticity, though.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
For your bacon. I mean,
this is what they call in economics the lemons market. A lemons market is one where there's no third party that's guaranteeing whether this thing has any value or not. And rational people withdraw from lemons markets. So great. Figure out what's going to happen next.
Yeah, rational people will
invest
be
in lemons. Is that what you're saying? Yeah.
Half the people in the country will not do it. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Well, the other day Trump was talking about how the price of everything has gone down. Groceries have gone way down. Even eggs have
even
gone
eggs,
down.
And he mentioned even gold, apparently.
He mentioned that, and gas was down to $1.98 a gallon. And then the reporter said, "Well, that's not true. That's you know, gas is like a dollar more than that."
Yeah.
And eggs haven't gone down. Nothing has gone down.
Yeah.
And the White House spokesperson came back, and they're always so snippy when they come back.
With
And they said, "Well, you should get out in real America more often."
Meaning fake America. So why don't we just put it on the coins? And they want to put his head on like the $20 bill or something, whatever. Yeah. They got all these crazy ideas.
His real head?
Just put our new motto, the motto for the United States, Trump lies.
Yeah.
That's
it.
I mean, that's all you need to know, beginning and end, Trump lies.
Yeah. Who will replace the In God We Trust.
Yeah. Trump lies.
We'll do it in Latin.
How many? 30,000 eggs? Real eggs for the White House egg roll?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, they have corporate sponsors this year.
Yeah,
so.
And they had to. He wanted them to do real eggs. They said no, do plastic eggs. And I mean, they came up.
Well,
because
he's such an environmentalist.
Big
men in tears came up.
Yeah,
to him and
said no.
We need real eggs.
We need real eggs.
Yeah,
sir.
I've read that some people are decorating potatoes for Easter.
Oh. So.
I keep
that is such a World War II feel to it.
I keep bringing this up, but I was watching Kimmel, and he said, "That's what our forefathers left the old country to get away from."
Potatoes. All those damn potatoes.
Potato Easter eggs. Yeah.
Oh, those Irish, they sure love their potatoes.
Yeah, well, that's what they want.
Yeah.
Well, we used potatoes for everything back in Ireland.
Yeah, you know, yeah. You know. Yeah,
so Uber, have you heard about Uber? They have an annual lost and found index. It's a brand new one. It's the ninth annual one, and they do them for different cities. And they just put out one for New York City, and they've had some pretty interesting items in there, things that people have left behind in the car, and you know, titanium knees, things like that.
Ex-wives.
But people get so some of the things have been left behind. A turtle. I can imagine that. It's not getting out of the car fast enough.
Yeah.
Chainsaw. Obviously, Elon was taking the cab that day. And a mannequin head with human hair. My favorite one was, I was thinking maybe this was somebody trying to imitate Marcel Duchamp or something. There was a urinal, apparently, that somebody left behind. Let's see. One rider in Uber left behind 15 hookahs.
15?
Yeah. A taxidermy.
Well, we can understand why he forgot them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Makes total sense. A taxidermied rabbit. I hate it when I do that.
Oh.
And then a Viking drinking horn. So those are some of the things. If you go to the Uber, it's called the Lost and Found Index, and they do it for different cities in the U.S., and that was what they found.
Viking drinking horn.
And in New York, the New York City.
I was wondering what happened to my Viking drinking horn.
Well, you'll find it on Uber.
Oh, that's funny. The UK is creating a murder prediction tool to help identify people most likely to kill someone.
I'm right here.
We just look for red hats in this country.
Yeah, right.
But, algorithms allegedly being used to study data of thousands of people in the project. Critics say it's chilling and dystopian.
Mm.
It's a program that they hope can use personal data of those known to the authorities to identify the people most likely to kill. Researchers are using algorithms to analyze the information of thousands of people, including victims of crime.
I want to know what the factors are.
Right.
I don't know. Is identify those at greatest risk?
It doesn't tell you what the factors are.
You might be you.
It's proprietary.
It's probably you.
It's probably you.
Yeah, how close are they to Floyd as far as...
Availability of weapons, I would think.
The government says it's just research at this point.
Yeah,
so,
they aren't actually doing anything.
No, we're not going to use this.
We would never do that.
No, yeah, never. So, but, well, hardly ever.
Yeah, it doesn't really elaborate. I think they're probably not sharing.
Well, they're playing a little close to their vest.
There, yeah. Well, that's kind of suspicious to me.
Yeah, yeah.
I think I put them right at the top of the list.
I think it's kind of suspicious that you're asking about it.
I didn't ask about it.
Oh, wait.
Yeah, why is he so obsessed with that? I don't know.
I've never even talked about this.
No. But you've been thinking.
Well, is that a crime?
It is, isn't it?
Yeah. So.
Okay, I got another why pot is bad story.
Oh, good. Excellent. I've been looking for these.
Okay, so maybe it does something to your sperm. But one of the other things, apparently, for middle-aged and older adults who sought hospital or emergency room care because of cannabis use, in other words, they're heavy cannabis users, they're twice as likely to develop dementia over the next 5 years.
Oh, that's so fun.
Yeah. So when compared with adults who sought care for other reasons, the risk of developing dementia was 23% higher for users of cannabis.
Huh.
The study was a pretty big one. They looked at, it was like a mega study. They did medical records of 6 million people in Ontario between 2008 and 2021.
Well, they're Canadians.
Yeah. So they can't handle it? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I'm not thinking it somehow just doesn't.
They're not hard asses like we are down here. Right? Okay. All right.
I did go to the ER once after I took a gummy, but that was...
Do you know how to get 200 Canadians out of a swimming pool?
No. How?
Hey, you Canadians, get out of that swimming pool.
You got to say please.
Sorry.
There used to be this baseball manager for the Orioles named Earl Weaver, and he was like this little feisty guy. He just was always getting in.
I'm Earl Weaver.
arguments with the umpires and with his own players, and he smoked like 3 packs of cigarettes a day. He was just one of these kind of crusty old school, you know, mm-hmm. baseball managers. And they were playing in Toronto one time, and there was like a whole bunch of people behind home plate that were getting on him, and they were like, you know, yelling at him and yelling insults at him and stuff. And he came out there and he looked at him and he goes, "Will you be quiet?" And they were.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Now try that in Philadelphia.
Yes.
Not even America's richest people live as long as some of Europe's poorest.
Oh, interesting.
New research shows a significant gap in mortality rates between the U.S. and Europe, with even the wealthiest Americans more likely to meet an early death than the wealthiest Europeans, and in some cases more likely than the poorest.
You got to factor the stupid in.
They hold my beer. Watch this. Put this on TikTok. having more money was unsurprisingly associated with lower mortality rates in both the U.S. and Europe. The disparity in survival rates between the richest and poorest populations was much stronger in the United States.
Yeah.
The results could be explained by, as you could probably guess, Europeans have greater access to health care and social welfare and having stronger social structures than those in the United States.
I don't know how people live without medical debt.
All this money just laying around.
You know, you gotta wait when you go to the you know, that you don't have to wait here.
You can just go right in,
and zip right in.
I loved it when they were going on. Remember back in 2008, going on about the death panels.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, like, we already have those. They're called insurance companies. Yeah. Like, what were you so upset about?
Well, and they had all these ridiculous things that, too, if everybody gets health care, then everybody's just going to run to the doctor all the time. Like, I've got insurance on my car, and I love smashing into things because it's insured.
At least you get to use that insurance. So vegetative electron microscopy, speaking about healthcare, it's not just the name of my
vegetative.
Vegetative. It's not my new ska metal band.
Okay. Good name, though.
Yeah, it is a good name. I think maybe we might rethink that. Anyway, it's a nonsensical phrase that's appeared in scientific papers. It's a result of AI. So they scanned two columns that were too close together, so they got vegetative and electron microscopy next to each other, and then
they thought it was one word, the language model.
They thought it was one term. Phrase, and so then later, translation errors in scientific papers, particularly Farsi, because the word vegetative and scanning only differ by a single dot in Farsi.
Oh, nice.
Yes. So that perpetuated this problem, and then it has appeared in a number of scientific papers since then, which have since been retracted.
The problem is, it's just AI is just crowdsourcing,
right?
And the crowd is us, and we are idiots.
Yeah, well, just look who's president.
So Andrew Cuomo, it's so funny because it leads into a story I have. Andrew Cuomo is running for the mayor of New York. He's the former governor, of course, and he gave a major speech just this last week about housing in New York City, which is really in a bad shape right now. And so he spoke at a Sunday morning church service. He was promising 500,000 units of housing, most of them affordable. And he started talking about, he was the housing secretary for Clinton and all this stuff. But then he started having some problems because apparently there was a bunch of incoherent gibberish in the thing he was reading from because the guy did not write it.
No.
He said, even no human wrote it. He said, hey, ChatGPT, one of the worst of the AI systems, could you generate a speech for me? And apparently the hyperlink went to some kind of weird thing. And pulled all this stuff down into this. He got, as you can imagine, he got a lot of criticism, especially from people who actually are concerned and been working on this issue. According to the speaker of the New York City City Council, I did the hard work to pass city laws that will create 120,000 new housing units. Meanwhile, Andrew Cuomo asked ChatGPT what his housing policy should be. Guess someone does need some on-the-job training.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I haven't used ChatGPT to... BGTBs.
I
haven't listened to the BGs.
CBGBs, I
guess. Or appeared at CBGB. Anyway, but I have used it to, you can put a picture in and ask it to turn it into a cartoon.
Yeah.
And that's pretty slick.
Okay.
I'm just, since radio is such a visual medium.
I thought you'd talk about that, right?
Yeah.
So abortion has been banned in a number of states, as you probably know.
Mm-hmm. I hope so.
And in the states where it's been outlawed, it's become more common.
Indeed. Explain that to us, Mel.
It's paradoxical.
It's where it's illegal that people in Massachusetts will send people to states where it's legal.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So it's just like totally contrary to what they were expecting and what they were trying to do. Well, I don't know if they were really trying to do anything.
Well, they're trying to force people to behave a certain way. And as soon as people know they're going to be forced to behave a certain way, they have an interesting tendency to do the exact opposite.
Yeah. So there's the
Speaking
Jaguar.
Of which, hey. The Jaguar.
We got the full meow.
Jaguar's got his purple shirt on.
Am I?
Yeah.
And your hot probs shirt.
Hot probs?
Three T's.
Right.
Why are there three T's?
I don't know.
It's one of the mysteries of the ages.
But you are styling today.
Hate to do so much Trump news, but I'm afraid that's the world we're in here. Trump's pick to be D.C.'s top prosecutor failed to report nearly 200 appearances on far-right media outlets, including many owned by Russia.
Oh, Russia, Russia, Russia.
They keep slipping through. They can always forget about that.
Yeah.
Was I in Russia? Oh, really?
Really?
So much like the United States. At least it soon will be.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
But if but they forgot to mention that during the hearings.
Well, geez. Well, when the United States falls apart, I'm looking to buy our equivalent of Gazprom. I think.
What's that?
I think it's the big gas company in Russia, where all the billionaires own all the. And that's what they got to do. Is when Russia fell apart, all the rich folks got to scoop up all these luscious assets.
Sure.
And that's what we're looking to do here.
Yeah.
You know, if you look at Trump's
actions. Are you a billionaire?
No.
Yeah. No. You have a shed. You
have
maybe two sheds.
I might have two sheds. I ordered another shed, but
kind
I haven't
heard shed mogul, aren't you?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Shedding left and right.
So we're right in the middle of the great Swedish moose migration, if you'd like to.
Swedish moose migration.
Yes.
It's like the smelt run. You got to get a bigger bag, though.
So there's SVT. That's the Swedish National Broadcasting Company. And you can go on there. And they do a little editing so to make it a little, you know, spicier. Uh-huh. And a little more energetic for the viewer. But there's... a little Swedish thing from a guy here. So, vi som gillar den stora algvandringen på SVT, which is, we like to watch the great moose migration on SVT. And I think that should be the motto for the show today.
I think so. I have never actually seen a moose in the wild.
I haven't either.
Yeah. But
Those ones you have in the petting zoo, right?
Right. Yeah. Right next to the pandas.
All right, we got to get out of here. Oh, okay. Time to declare the weekend. Enjoy your weekend. It's 2:00. You're listening to WRT 89.9 FM, Madison. Floyd, it was great to see you.
Yeah,
thanks
great
for
to
coming
see you
in.
Guys. It's
Pants,
so fun
always,
to be here.
Always great to see you.
You too, bud.
Okay, everybody, have a great weekend. Stick around. The kiosk is next. And then after that, Who Cooks for You with The Real Jaguar.
This is the Insurgent Radio Kiosk for Friday, April 18th.
This is Bird Note. Most of the time, a ruby-crowned kinglet is a fraud with feathers. Neither ruby nor regal. Just a tiny songbird washed in faded olive green, with a wing bar and messy eye ring. Sure, the male shows a hint of crimson atop his head, but hardly a ruby crown to justify his name. But if you forsake the kinglet for flashier birds, you'll miss one of nature's great events. It begins with a song. That mile of music comes from a bird 4 inches long and weighing about 1/4 ounce. But the show's only beginning. When courting a female, and often when dueling with another male, the kinglet unleashes the true fire in his crown.